life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Well, we thought Yellow and Black was the best song in footy, but we were wrong. Mr. Brightside, sung there by Jack Riewoldt up on stage, an incredible way to celebrate an amazing premiership. It's Yellow and Black everywhere. Welcome to the last Super Footy podcast of the year. I'm still Anthony Hudson. He's still Mick Warner. We'll get to him in a moment. Lauren Wood, welcome to you.
Thanks, Hutto. Great to be here. It's my favourite moment of the entire weekend. I know there was a lot of moments in the game, but Jack getting up, absolutely dominating the crowd. It was, it was really, really something special. And I think for a lot of people there, every time they hear that song now, they'll be taken back to that moment.
Oh, no doubt about that. It was an incredible part of an incredible day, Robbo. I got to say, I still can't believe it. I can't believe that Richmond won, but more, I can't believe they won by 48 points.
Well, the game plan, it's always the game plan. They won the first final by 8 goals, the second final by 5 goals, the grand final by 8 goals. It was just a special day to be there, and hopefully we can tell people what happened and where everyone went and what it was like to be in the inner sanctum.
Well, great welcome, great pleasure to welcome to the man who tipped GWS to not lose a game for the year, but his Tigers got home in spite of him.
They did.
Congratulations,
Mick.
Oh, yeah,
I played a great game. Thanks, mate. I picked the Tigers by 50 points for the record, Hutto. I didn't believe it when I wrote it, but I still don't believe it now, as you said, and the parties were incredible. There was 10 different places to be. I wish I could have got to all of them. Stomping on cars in Swan Street. Looked like the riot police. There was Crown Casino where you and I were, Robert. There was Punt Road. There was the MCG with that concert.
There was September Club.
It was just Tiger time. It was like Woodstock. All over town.
Were you surprised at the lack of coverage about the vandalism and all that after the game?
I think there's times where that sort of behaviour is acceptable.
No, it's not. As the night goes on, you sort of check your phone.
Yeah,
I was seeing people jumping on taxis and jumping on cars. And
yeah, it was.
I thought that was pretty disgusting behaviour.
Yeah, it was. And if it was a soccer game, it probably. But look, let's not talk about that, Robbo. Let's just talk about.
So that's typical, you know. Let's just let it go through to the
keeper.
We'll
talk about it off air if you want. It's Tiger time. In an expansion era too, Hutto, they built this list, which... what's wrong now?
Go through the list now.
No, I don't want to go through it, but...
Isn't it trade week now?
It's a pretty incredible effort. Sorry.
Every list that wins a premiership is a pretty incredible list.
Oh, okay, mate.
List.
Righto.
Don't you think so?
Well, I just think that Richmond, the teams that were down the bottom when the Giants came in, for example, in one year when the Giants got 13 picks, we thought that those clubs would struggle to rise. So I actually do. I love list-building stories.
It was also a list-building story, though, that had been, you know, absolutely castigated at times over the journey.
Guys like Cooley and Grigg were whipping boys, and they got guys like Lambert from the VFL and Broad from the Waffle. I like that stuff, Robbo.
Great.
And obviously love the champions as well, which they had 4 of.
Well, there's some incredible stories, wasn't there, really? When you look, that's what I love about Grand Final Day is the story, the individual stories of when the siren sounds and you look around and think, he's a premiership player and all that's gone into that, Loz. And you're in the rooms
exactly.
And that's what comes across, isn't it, I think, when you see them with their families.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, particularly Jack Graham, I think.
It's just ludicrous.
He's kicked more goals than games he's played. and he's got more premierships than games he has lost.
Where did he come from, Mick?
Pick 53.
Yep. He sticks
and was
out.
Not rated highly by a lot of clubs. I thought he was a bit slow.
Even though he was a Lark medalist and a South Australian under 18 captain.
Yeah, you go through another one. You mentioned Nathan Broad before. A couple of years ago, he was plumbing toilets. And
yes.
Basically had given up on an AFL dream, and he's there. And as you mentioned, Sean Grigg, a few others that were cast aside by their respective clubs, Toby Nankervis. There were storylines aplenty. It was brilliant.
Lauren, you go into the rooms. You remember when you walk into the rooms, who was the first player you spoke to?
The first player I spoke to was Toby Nankervis, actually, and gave him a quick congratulations. I'd done a feature with him earlier in the year, so that was very quick. The first person I spoke to was Kathy Martin. Dustin Martin's mum, who was very swift, of course, to get him to pose up with both of his medals and get a photo of
and
him.
She was, like, she was
just like another mum.
She was open up.
She was incredibly happy and pleased for her son and was wanting to tell anyone about it. And Sam Landsberger caught up with her too for his Norm Smith story. But it was just like all
and
of
Lois
the rooms are. Lois was there.
Lois was
pretty excited.
Dustin's grandmother.
Nathan Broad's nan was pretty teary there too. But
did you notice that Dusty, when he won the Norm, tucked it inside his jumper and he only had his premiership medal? Just those little things.
Mm. And he's not going to get it tattooed on him either, the Brownlow or the Norm Smith. He's already set aside the space on his left quad, I believe, for a nice big tiger with a premiership medallion on. So
he plays very selfless, doesn't he? Like, he could have snapped all those goals, but he handballs off to the right place.
Well, that's been a clear feature of him, particularly in September, and goes to what the Tigers achieved. Let's, for those that missed it, just relive some of the great moments.
But it comes back to Martin somehow. A little left foot kick for Bashahuli. Bashed it off the left and kicked the goal! Tigers in front in a grand final.
Edwards follows up well. Got the handball to Cochin. A little one off. And Graham's going to kick a goal. The young man steps up and delivers from 45. And Krieg got the handball. Lambert's a chance here from the pocket. Stepped and goals!
Oh.
Another one for the Tigers. Wow. Oh. It is all Richmond at the MCG on grand final day.
Krieg, he turns left foot kick. Watch out. Dusty's ready. Dusty's got it. He's played on and gets it across to Castagna. The roar of the jungle of these Tigers. Oh, surely now.
He might go for it himself. Takes one bounce, takes a second bounce. He looks inboard. He'll do the team thing to Prestia, who snaps and goals for Richmond.
Party time.
The Tigers are eating the Crows alive at the MCG. He centres it up. Oh, Dustin Martin. This time, Dusty, round the body. Martin, he's got that one. Arms in the air, KB style. He's kicked the goal, Dustin Martin.
Tigerland going to take over Melbourne. The throw-in takes place in the pocket. The countdown's on to the siren. We wait for the roar. And there it is! For the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017 is officially Tiger Time.
So it was an amazing performance by them. What stood out most to you, Robbo, and when did you think that you were pretty sure they were going to win this? Was it, I mean, to be honest, even in the first quarter?
Lambert snap in the third quarter, I knew.
I was next to John Ralph, who's a mad Richmond supporter like Michael Warner, and I told him halfway through the second quarter, this game's over.
Through the second?
They can't get the ball and they can't move the ball. Every time they did it, Rance and was stopping it.
Even in the first quarter when they were ahead, they actually weren't playing that well, I didn't think.
No, they just couldn't get into gear, and then immediately you start thinking of, why can't they do that? Richmond pressure.
They got a good start, Adelaide. And I was when Hawley kicked that goal, it just settled them, didn't it?
Because it's a great goal that he was under pressure and he killed it from about 35, which is a difficult kick.
Quite a good game.
But the pressure again, they just grind teams into the ground, and then the other team in the finals they give up. They say this is too hard, and Richmond don't exactly run away with it. But they just sort of keep steaming ahead. The pressure's enormous, absolutely enormous.
It's a game plan built for finals, isn't it?
Yeah, and the other clubs will be looking at that, Mick. And Lauren, they will be. They'll be looking at the way Richmond doing. They'll also be looking at, I think, the number one thing that got them through. And it's been well documented now. and Jack spoke about it on Friday, Jack Rewalt. These hardship and heroes speeches that they do during the year, and everyone's sort of standing up and bearing their soul, it really brought a connection. And people can laugh and say, what's connection?
That's 100% right.
What's connection? But the you could, just the way they played, they were for each other, they sacrificed, all the role players that Richmond had this year. It's just do your role for the team. And I think coaches and other clubs will look at what Richmond did in that sort of off-field area.
Can you have connection, Adelaide have it as well, but when guys like Lever and Cameron are signalling that they're leaving, do you reckon that, you know, in hindsight, can you be totally bought in?
No, I don't think that helps, Mick. No, I think that's a really, really good point.
Well, it's a good question in this day of professional sport, isn't it? In this day, in these days of, and you hear all the players now all parrot the same thing, usually not about themselves. I understand it's professional and he's looking for the right offer and all that sort of stuff when they're talking about one of their teammates. So
it's a parallel world.
Dusty bought in at 6 weeks ago. They were unstoppable after that.
Yeah, they were. That's a really good point. But it's a parallel world. Oh, it's a business and, you know, it's free agency. But the core of football is heart and,
like
and buy-in.
Said, spiritual versus
and spiritual
ability.
It is. Yeah. And every premiership team. And again, in the rooms, Lauren, it's an amazing scene to be in any winning premiership room. It's an amazing scene. But in Richmond on Saturday, I asked Brendan Gale, what do you see? As everyone was hugging and kissing and carrying on. And he goes, I see unity.
That's exactly what it was. They had basically every staff member from Punt Road was there. And every time a new one walked in before the team came into the room, every time another staff member came in, they cheered and they cheered. And then Giuseppe Mamoni, who's the property steward, who's an absolute cult figure down there, when he came in, there was a massive roar. He was one of the last ones to come in before
that would have been spine tingling.
It was pretty, it was pretty awesome stuff to see. Because of course, every time we heard the roar, we thought it was Trent and the cup and the rest of the team. So we sort of had the cameras at the ready, but. The connection, as you mentioned, I heard Basha Hooley talking about it on Channel 7 on Sunday morning. And if you haven't seen it or read it or heard what he had to say, it is well worth a look. Because I know Jack referenced it in your story with him, Robbo, that Basha had a little bit to say about his wife and the birth of his first child. And the word he used about this connection was trust. And we've had a lot of players, you know, volunteer stories that they've never trusted anyone else with before. And the way that he spoke about, you know, his family and his parents and his wife and his children, and trusting the other players with that information just brought them even closer together. And it was just so, so evident on Saturday night. They just were so consumed in sharing it together. And it was like we weren't even there. When they sang the song and they gathered everyone in and they called in every player.
That was great when Dusty called.
And so called in Anthony Miles.
Get everyone in. Yeah,
Miles. Where's Milesy? Where's Milesy? You know, where's... And then they actually stopped again because they'd gone unmarried.
It's always a slightly awkward part of the premiership, isn't it? The players that didn't... And even speaking to Dimmer on Wednesday about it or Tuesday about it last week, he was sort of saying about... Oh, those!
But that's the game.
Oh, I know it is. But
club,
you just, but it's you know, and you hear stories, players in the back going, oh, I'm in the room, and there's the 22 players, and I'm just feeling like I really don't want to be there. I just want to get out of there. But it didn't seem that way.
And Jack was one that made it really clear afterwards that it takes 44.
And the VFL team went deep too, so there was that.
Exactly right. So it was really, you know, 22 blokes got a medal on the day, but they. They made it very, very clear that this was one club.
Just on that connection stuff, Lauren, and you wrote about it, Robert, Hardwick and Cotchin went first, and then you get tapped on the shoulder and it might be your turn in 8 weeks. It was like at university when you were crapping yourself when you had to get up and speak. Oh, mine's in August 23, and you're nervous right up until that time. And like Floston was saying, I was terrified, but when I got up there, I just opened up and released everything.
It's the contrast to the other leading teams, and I'm sure there's elements that are the same, but...
Less confrontational.
Yeah, the leading teams was more about people, you know, saying things to you, about picking you apart, whereas this was more about, as you said, the hurt and the various things they'd been, you know, having heard a little bit about some of the tales, it's just phenomenal, and there was tears and so forth. So can every other team go... Will every other team go down this path, or is it not for everyone?
No, well... Yeah, it is for everyone because they're human beings. They're not robots.
We're going to do it here at the Sun, actually.
Yeah, we were talking about myself and Meg had that. We had that discussion at 3 a.m. on Sunday morning, thinking this would be a good idea. We're all going to stand up in front of each other. Yeah. But
not sure it's going to work in the media space.
No, very quickly.
Might be brutal.
New subject. Right, I asked for a Norm Smith
Yes.
Medal voters. Hutto, you go first.
Okay, well, I am big on who influenced the result more than anything. And when I did it a couple of years ago, I tried to keep that as while the game was over. So I wouldn't have given it to... I thought it was extremely hard, first of all, because I thought it was a very even where players... I think Rance was probably the best four-quarter player. Hooley is who I probably would have given my three votes to. I thought Edwards' impact on the game was massive in that second quarter.
It's always so underrated.
I would have gone Hooley, Edwards, and then either Rance or Martin.
Yeah, Lauren? Rance for me. Yeah, I watched it from in the outer, and I just think the first half, he was the one that set up the win for them, the work that he was doing. And I was sitting with someone who actually said they initially had doubts of, All-Australian captain. Yeah, he copped a little bit at the time, but... They said, I can totally see now why he was, and just the way that he worked out of defence was incredible. So I almost, but then again, every time Martin gets the ball, he changes the game, doesn't he? So I would have gone probably Martin 3, Rance 2, and then Hooley 1. I thought he was fabulous.
The goalie kick before half time, probably.
Who's really, that?
Dusty.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, it was really good. No, I would have gone Hooley, Martin, Rance.
Okay.
I thought Hooley was outstanding.
I've watched it 5 times, right? And I'm not joking. Twice with my son. It was only 2, but he's getting into it now.
He's on
and
the
he knows more
train.
About the game than Mick.
And he just says Dusty Martin the favourite. No, he was the best on ground. Was he? If you go back and watch it, he's so clean. He set up 4 or 5 goals. He had 22 contested disposals, 29.
He got caught a few times, though, didn't he?
And the way they vote, yeah, he did. But I quite liked that because... But the way they vote, remember when Voss beaten by Buckley, and Dusty, as soon as he kicked that last goal, that would have been about the time they had to write down there 3-2-1.
You can wait till the end if you want to, though.
You've done it, have you?
Yeah, you can if you want.
You can.
They changed it after that Buckley Voss.
They used to get the votes in the second quarter about 1993, which made it really difficult.
But what about his CV?
Later and later and later.
The Martin CV now.
He's the most captivating player in the competition by a long way. Dustin Martin, terrific season. And
extraordinary season.
Yeah,
he does not waste a single disposal. As you said, he got caught a few times. Mm. But
we got to know a little bit about Dustin Martin the last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I've heard from him more.
He's gotten better by the day.
Yeah,
I reckon
he
was fabulous Saturday night with Dimmer.
Yeah.
Just he was so open. He was cracking gags. He was, maybe, I don't know, he carried a Carlton draft into the press conference, so I don't know whether that was his first one.
was he calling you Loz?
No, there was no Loz. No Loz from Dusty, but he's just, he just gets better and better.
Success has a lot of fathers, we know that. Yeah. Everyone puts their hand up. And at Richmond, the transformation of this football club in the last 12 months has been huge. But the two key people for me were Peggy O'Neill and Brendan Gale, and on the football side, the two most important people were Damien Hardwick and Trent Cotchin. But if you actually went through every position, I spoke to Dan Richardson on Saturday night, he's been undersold, his role. They brought in Neil Barham to be football manager, but Dan still does all the contracts and all that sort of
finer
stuff.
Finer details stuff.
So Barham, you're talking to Blair Hartley, the list manager, Francis Jackson's been... probably a little bit overlooked. They had some blunders.
He was on his own there.
Yeah, they had some blunders, forever. But they've recruited really, really well. And through that period you're talking about the expansion clubs, they went and got what they call it Moneyball. Everyone was calling it Moneyball.
Hang on,
Richmond.
Don't go into the list build area.
No, I'm not going into the list build. I just don't want to know where they all come from. No, but that's right. But it's just been a total club overhaul.
Mm.
And a lot of them can say, geez, they've had some significant input.
I thought the Brendan Gale vision during the coverage was great. I mean, we spoke to him.
I tried to cry, and I just realised I'm too much of a hard ass.
It was when
pathetic.
He saw his mum.
I'm not
going
to cry then. I'll never cry.
He Brendan. Said his mum came over from...
we're talking about Brendan, Mick.
Oh, sorry.
Well, we spoke
he's
to
actually
him...
from Tasmania, by the way.
Yeah. We spoke to him Saturday morning, Robert, didn't we, on Crunch Time? And he said he came into the ground... And he went,
leaving Punt Road and he saw the stage.
He saw the stage where they would be presenting. It was bold of him to say it before the game. I thought, geez, I hope you're not getting too far ahead. He's, I saw the stage where they'd be presenting us with the cup. And he goes, and I had a moment.
Yeah, he did.
And it was, and then as you said, he saw
his
mum.
His mum came from Tasmania. So he.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was very emotional for the whole day, as you would be. But, yeah, his mum had come over from Tassie and he was, I think, a bit edgy and thinking that they'd won it. But he said it was, as soon as he set eyes on his mum, he said, I just lost it. That was just really sweet.
I wanted to go to Brendan after the game. I've written about him in the Tackle this morning. This person was not a plotter, but he was a guy who played 240 games. You can't be a plotter to be 240 games, but he was a lion-hearted kind of person, very smart, went back to the club with his business now, and there's no doubt his heart was in it. I spoke to him in the rooms and spoke about him crying in the grandstand, and he said, "I've been teary all week." He goes, "I've had just these moments where I just start crying." And he said, "I can't control it. I don't know." He goes, "I thought I was weird." And then he was just standing there, and he was so proud.
Mm.
He's done so much work. They were $5 million in debt. Now they've got $2 million in the bank. Mm. They were almost insolvent, the Tigers, when he arrived in 2009. And now they took them 8 years.
And what you said about Peggy is right. She is there to do governance, not be some grandstanding president getting into fights with other clubs and just being in it. Mm. Well, I'll discourage presidents
from getting into fights with other clubs.
No, but she does what her core duty is.
Yep.
And that's to run a business.
Pretty sexy, isn't it, governance?
Right. The vision of her,
she's
though.
She's from Virginia.
Yes,
she was picked out from Virginia.
There you go, you're into it now.
What pick? Can we talk about the team they beat? Because the Adelaide Crows had a shocker. And it was
only because they were forced to.
You just shut up for a minute.
Come on, mate.
Because the finals, almost to a T, played out this way, with one team bringing their best and one team bringing their worst. And obviously there's always a combination of the both. But other than that Port and West Coast game, which was tight, almost every final played out this way, didn't it? Which is astonishing.
When compared to last year, Loz, where there was tight finals all the way through, I like the fact that the two winners of the qualifying finals won the preliminary finals and got through. There was no discussion about, this system's stuffed and let's change it. Adelaide just got to the big stage and flopped.
Yeah.
And they're not the first to do it.
No, they're not.
They?
They're not flopped. I just heard on radio driving in that the last five grand finalists, the five losing teams are the interstate teams, non-Victorian teams, and the five winners are Victorian teams. And that'll be discussed, the advantages of the MCG, et cetera,
Before we get back to Adelaide, then, could you people here ever see a day that the grand final won't be played at the MCG?
No.
There's a 50-year contract there, so it'll be well beyond our expiry.
I think it's about 235 or 237. The contract expires.
I could see it. I could see it happening. Maybe not now. I reckon it'll happen eventually.
Spotless stadium, you reckon?
No.
The two Perth teams getting the grand final, should it be played at the new Perth stadium? I think so.
That doesn't worry me as much as if we're talking about integrity in this. I mean, because I did a thing with Josh Gibson on Thursday, one Friday, and he was adamant that Richmond would win. He said, "We won all our flags at the MCG against the interstate teams, the three that he played in." And he said, "When you know that ground, they all fall for the same thing. We forced them out wide. We knew how to defend." And I thought, "Wow, and I still tipped Adelaide."
But you know, this is, you know, Christmas Day is the same day every year. You know that the grand final is at the MCG.
But you don't get to play there.
But you know that it is.
But like, it's matter, not like
you've got to finals that, we could be playing at West Coast. Could be playing at Sydney. We could be playing at the Gabba. We could be playing here.
But is it fair? Is it fair to play when you've played? I'm not saying to Colin Vista change
no,
tomorrow.
No, it's not fair. It's not fair.
But that doesn't matter.
Didn't worry Lee Matthews and the Brisbane Lions.
No.
Didn't worry the Swans.
Geelong,
there's definitely an advantage.
Now, like, teams have, you know, St Kilda, for example, they've got dimensions drawn up at Seaford. They've got an Etihad Stadium and they've got an MCG.
Yeah, but you don't.
You're talking about the travel as well, aren't you?
That is clearly an element of it as well.
Bringing your own pillow and all that.
The FA Cup final's always played at Wembley, but other than that, I mean, in all other sports, finals.
Wembley's not a home ground for anyone.
No, that's true.
That's the Showpiece Stadium.
Yeah.
That's their neutral ground. Interesting, though. Are you one to believe that when Geelong redid their ground, they should have widened it?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I must admit, I didn't really think of it at the time, but it seems to have become more and more apparent in the way modern footy is played. These dimensions of the ground seem to be playing more and more apart. But
do you reckon it shocked the Crows, though? You talk about they came and they flopped. Do you reckon it shocked them? Because, you know, talk this morning, Tim Watson on SEN suggesting he overheard, when they were coming off at half time, Sean Grigg addressing the Richmond players, saying, "They're all fighting. They're squabbling between themselves.
No,
we've got them here." And there was a bit of that, like, from where I was watching, there was a bit of, you know, not yelling at each other, but there was really sort
angst,
of
yeah.
Well, it just
pointing fingers
for
and all that sort of thing. So that's what I wonder. You know, the word Tim used was infighting.
Yeah.
maybe it shocked them.
They showed nothing really, did they? I mean, they didn't show physical. They didn't come out and really bowl anyone over or do anything to try and change.
Mm. Is Josh Jenkins on $750,000 a year, is he? Boy, oh boy, what a stinker.
He was really, really poor.
But they all were up for it. I mean, Lynch tried hard.
The pressure?
But, yeah, no, it was clearly a part of
the pressure to perform, the pressure was put on them. So once again, Dylan Grimes, talk about unsung heroes.
Yep. Where's he from, Chief?
Where's Dylan Grimes? I don't know where he's from. Mick, where's he from?
Not sure. Right? Rookie draft.
He was a bit, you're right. The Adelaide Crows would be ill with disappointment. Absolute ill. They would be embarrassed. They'll never watch the game again. Don Pike should make them watch the game again. But they'll never watch the game again by themselves.
They need Gibbs.
I don't know if Bryce Gibbs would have changed on the weekend. This was an overall psych that besieged Adelaide on the weekend.
Well, I'm not going to have Lever.
I want to go down that path because I want to talk about the impact of the grand final on trades. But you want to do your Be Kind Rewind, Loz?
Yeah, the boys have just led us into it beautifully. My Be Kind Rewind for this week is Josh Jenkins.
Oh, sorry.
I think, that's all right. It's down a different path because obviously...
Selfish.
We all saw what happened on Saturday, but I just think we heard his comments a few weeks ago saying that he'd love to beat Patrick Dangerfield. There'd be nothing better. Perhaps he should have stayed here in Adelaide, won a Brownlow and been a premiership player. And I just think after what happened on Saturday, I just don't know if he would have gone that hard.
I've got no problem with that. I like the players saying
stuff.
Oh,
so do I, and I love
it.
So I
don't
want
to criticise him at all. I mean, it doesn't look good now.
Isn't that what Be Kind Rewind's all about?
Yeah, true. No, that's true.
Yeah, well said.
And you touched on it earlier, the three tall forwards that they had, Richmond only had one. Is the game changing?
Yeah, it may be. Well, there's only not a lot of teams got the three tools. GWS, we discussed all the way leading up. Do they need their three tools in their forward line?
Can I ask you this, Robert? Do you think it's you play to your strength? So Richmond didn't have them, so they just played to their strength and the assets they had? Or has the game changed so that you just can't have three? I mean, Adelaide had four.
No, this is the accidental forward line. Because they tried Todd Elton early in the year. They were hoping Ben Griffiths would get up. So what they did, they decided... that they're going small, so they really sort of emphasised that and would have trained for that, and they were well rewarded.
So for other teams, what does it mean?
Well, Townsend and Caddy aren't smalls, though, are they? They're bulls. So they're medium forwards. Anyway.
I think the thing that's astounded me the most is, well, not the most, but as part of all this is, I can only really remember the Sydney game in the second half. This is what I think other teams didn't do enough of. Where they put enough pressure on the Richmond players with the ball that they bombed the ball into their forward line, given that they only have one target. Like, how many times can you remember when Richmond were playing teams where intercept markers drifted across and kept taking marks in front of Jack? It just didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen.
And when you haven't got those key targets, that's amazing, because how many times do you see against Adelaide or against West Coast, McGovern and Lever and those blokes just drift across, and Rance when Richmond are playing?
Richmond's percentage from round 17 was 165.
Yeah.
And everyone said they were a low-scoring, dour pressure team.
They just clamped them. You know, you've got to give credit to Damien Hardwick and his coaching bunch. Yes, he had a game plan and a game style which stood up in finals. We can see that. But they took away the strength of the opposition. So when you're looking, if you're going into a game of football, you say, right, what have we got? What have they got? What can't we allow them to do? Tell what we can't allow them to do. We can't allow Lever and these guys to intercept and then just chip sideways and then just move it down the ground.
Well, that's exactly what they did, isn't it? Yeah, they forced them to bomb it long, go down the line, send it in, and that was what hope did
they
have.
Cut out the switch. They cut out the switch.
Adelaide just refused to switch, though, didn't they?
That's always the way, isn't it? When things aren't going your way, you drop a mark. We saw there was a bounce very close to goal that I think it was in just about the exact same spot as the ball bounce for Stephen Milne, actually, a few years ago. But... There was no confidence to try the switch or to back themselves in.
I was really disappointed in the captain, Taylor Walker. And I like Taylor Walker, but I was really disappointed. He was named by his peers as the AFL Captain of the Year.
Yeah.
Now, when the game... Now, it's easy. We've never played and we're sitting up here on a podcast. But when the game is drifting or the game needs some oomph, anything, it's... incumbent on the leaders to do that, to change the style or the substance of the game, and we just didn't see it.
Well,
we
Don
just
Pike
did
didn't
not
do
see
it. Don Pike only talked about changing a few structures, but I mean, again, Plan A's worked for them so well during the year. I mean, we didn't see Andy Otten going to defence.
Too much faith. In their thing.
That reminded me of 2008 with Geelong when they won a different game, but
Bad kicking got you that day.
Well, it did, yeah. But they won dominated all year and they got to grand final day and they really didn't have a change-up.
Mm. Well, they should have done something with Eddie Betts. He was getting eaten alive by Dylan Grimes. You've just got to try.
Yeah.
Now, in contrast, the bravery of Damien Hardwick. Righto, half-time, we're up by two goals. We've got to do something. Jack Graham, you're going to Rory Sloan. Mm. Who in football would have thought that a coach would send a 19-year-old to Rory Sloan, one of the toughest players in the competition? He knew that Rory was his hero.
He had genuine claims on Norm Smith.
Influence on a game. He did.
Three goals and shutting Rory out.
So let's talk about brave coaching. That was gutsy
coaching. He admitted in the grand final parade on Friday that he modelled his game on Rory Sloan. And, I'm just so excited to, be here and be playing against him and all the rest of it. But you're right, it was...
Right, let's go back to fears and vulnerabilities and...
Heroes, highlights, and hardships.
So let's go back to that. So Hardwick knows that Jack Graham loved Rory Sloan. It could either play on him and it could devour him, or you put him on him and say, this is your time, kid. You are going up against your hero. And it worked.
Yep.
And to me, that's just great coaching.
There was a Richmond player in the 1920s. He played only one game for one premiership, but Jack Graham not far behind him.
Yeah, he shot his finger or something, didn't he? And that's why he never played again.
Where did he come from?
Dylan Grimes, I just remembered, was from Hurstbridge via the Northern Knights. Robbo, rookie draft 2010.
Yeah,
great pick.
Yeah, well done, Mick.
Francis Jackson.
Yep. Now, trade period.
That's the end of the grand final?
Well, let's...
That's okay. Congratulations, Tigers and Tigers fans out there. On to next year
now. You did. What impact does the grand final, first and foremost, have on any trades? Does Lever's value reduce?
No. It doesn't reduce at all.
I was talking to somebody on Saturday night who thought that it showed, who is very strongly in the AFL system, who showed that that's a better representation of...
Every player who wants to become an intercept player, every person who lives and dies, not lives and dies, but their strongest component is being an interceptor. That's great. Because when you're an interceptor, you haven't got anyone on you. So you're going up and taking marks by yourself. That is great. Well done. That's the game. But when you're asked in finals to play one-on-one football and defend, and you get taken away from you as your number one component... You're just another bare bum in the shower defender. Thanks, Chopper.
Love that line.
I do. Thanks, Chopper. But that's what happened.
That's the difference between Alex Rance and some of the other interceptors. Alex Rance one-on-one has unbelievable record. Others, not so. And Lever's one-on-one stuff is not.
Rance is on 800,000, 850,000. The last report I heard on Jake Lever was someone says
5x9.
It's 900,000.
Yep. And two first-round picks.
He's not worth that much money. He's not
all that many picks.
No, he's not.
So the word is that Collingwood are still trying to get Lever, and that the Melbourne deal may not be a formality. But
Melbourne people would be very surprised if Jake Lever's not at Melbourne next year.
Collingwood go
given
for
they've got Jeremy Howe
again?
Given they've got Jeremy Howe, I'd be surprised that they would be going for Jake Lever.
I would be too.
What do you think Richmond do? By the way, they just use their early picks.
This team won't be maybe not ever line up together again. That's what history shows us.
Yeah.
So they've got to pick up some players. They've got to improve areas. I think
they've got two first round picks because they've
got that future pick still from the Deledio trade. And reports today that Jason Castagna could be in line for a 2-year deal. So he was one that was.
There's not many players in the football at Richmond now are going to get turfed out.
Lloyd,
from the premiership
Miles
team.
And Conker might all look for
fodder. They're going to be second and thirds, aren't they?
But they've got some that they can pick.
They've got a 21-year-old ruckman, 22-year-old ruckman in Toby Nankervis. Mm-hmm. Do they need another ruckman? They might get. I reckon they'll probably draft a second ruckman, a young ruckman.
A tap ruckman.
Yeah, perhaps. Because brave coaching.
Yeah.
They're going to a grand final with Toby Nankervis.
Sean Griggs, a premiership ruckman. Yeah.
One of the worst ruckmen you've ever seen. He's a premiership ruckman. So. Let's talk quickly then, because we have already, as quite rightly talked, a fair bit about the grand final. Of the other trades, do we see them all playing out the way that is Rockcliffe more value to Carlton or Port Adelaide, would you say?
I think Carlton at the moment, and I think he met with them last week.
Does it depend on Gibbs?
Yeah, Carlton. Yeah, you must have spoken to the same person I did. If Carlton lose Gibbs, I'll take Rockcliffe.
Mm.
I don't think they'll have both of them.
But what? David Noble this morning's, you know, they've got an offer on the table for Rockcliffe, but he's the one that said,
"Yeah,
I'm just going to go and have a look around." So.
He's on the way out, Rockcliffe, but whether it's Carlton or Port is unknown.
Motlop?
I wrote down Adelaide or West Coast. Sounds like he's on the way out.
I think Geelong have put an offer to him, but I'd still be surprised if he stays.
I thought on Saturday night, Hutto, that Chris Scott told up to 10 players at their exit meetings, start looking around for a new club. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I've heard. I didn't hear that number, but there's no doubt he told a number of players that, yeah.
Do you reckon the Jake Stringer amazing story by Abby, I don't know if it's his ex-wife or partner.
Partner.
Loz, has damaged his trade currency?
Well, I heard you suggesting late in the week, Robbo, that you've spoken to a few clubs that suggest maybe his behavioural issues.
They know. They all know.
And then, of course, the next day, Abby spoke to Alice Costa in that incredibly explosive story on page 13 of the Herald Sun on Saturday. Then, what was the headline? Sex, lies and gambling. I mean...
It's almost the full house, isn't it?
Almost.
No, well, he's an idiot. He's your father of two young girls and... He's decided to sleep around his partner. It's 2017 and not 2021. And the partner, Abby, gets up and goes bang, bang, bang with a machine gun. Well, good on her for putting it out there. If she wants to put it out there, she can.
But a few suitors would have read that clubs. And
but they knew,
but
mate.
Did they know?
Yeah, but their supporters didn't know and the world didn't know.
So now if does I'm it make Geelong, it harder for the Bulldogs?
Board member at Geelong goes, well, hang on.
As in, do they keep him now?
Well, no, does it make it harder for the Bulldogs to get to argue that he's worth a top 10 pick? I mean, does his value...
It decreases quality. His value. There's no doubt it does, but it's not going to stop clubs trying to
recruit. Geelong had already done due diligence and they were still, I don't know how good, but they were definitely in the running for him.
Well, I spoke to a rival, another coach on Friday.
Yep.
And he said, no, we're out of Jake Stringer. He said, we've done our homework. We're out. I said, okay. He'll go. Abbott Essendon are pretty keen.
Yeah,
still.
I think he's most likely to end up at Essendon. Abbott will happen.
Running it up in the Maldives at the moment, Gary.
Yeah.
Is he?
It's harder places to decide your future.
What picks would get that done, hello?
Don't know, but I'm pretty sure. I think they're pretty close already. They're roughly.
With what player?
No, I don't know. All I know is that, well, I was told that it was, you know, they got reasonably not that far away.
The Sun's confirmed this morning that Mitch Duncan's name was put up probably by them.
Yeah, it was brought up last year when the original...
Brought up by Geelong or by...
Is it the three? Is it Duncan, Darcy Lang, Reece Stanley? Are they still sort of the three?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Reece Stanley would get it done, but I think Geelong would...
I'm surprised. Darcy Lang's name came up. I don't think that should get it done. If I was Gold Coast, I would absolutely... just knuckle down on this trade and say, no, we want a really good player, or he's not going. And so you don't get him, so what? He retires. I reckon they can't.
Then they've got his money in the salary cap as well, don't forget.
Yeah.
Hodge will get done.
It's about
right?
This football club's got to stand up at some stage for itself. If it lets players keep leaving, everyone will just keep rating him. They should stand up and say, we want him, you're not getting him, Geelong.
Heath Shaw and Mumford.
I don't think there's much to the Heath Shaw one.
No, but the Mumford one, it seems like...
His body's banged up.
It just depends on...
And what do you mean, the Mumford one? What's that mean?
Well, it's been talked about that the Giants in his exit meeting said, you need to consider playing on or not.
Are you fit enough?
He's cooked. He's cooked. They're in desperate need of a ruckman. Now, you'd asked before, Hutto, about what did we see in the final series that might help other clubs. Maybe they don't have to go shopping for a ruckman. Maybe they train and develop Rory Lobb as the ruckman.
And just have Dawson as the backup.
And just play
Cameron and Patton
as the two key forwards and try and find smalls.
Yep.
I mean, Mumford was hurt, we know that, but his last 10 weeks were lacking oomph. He lacked the impact that he has. I could hardly remember him laying a tackle. And he used to lay tackles every week.
So anyway, it's going to be a fascinating trade period. There's no doubt about that.
Just one other one.
Jack Watts is the other one. Sydney has been linked with Jack Watts.
Sydney.
As well as Port Adelaide.
And the
you're a little busy bee, aren't you, with your little trades? You come on and say, I've heard this and I've heard that.
It's like list building, Robbo.
You love your list building.
The Suns coaching job will be announced on Thursday. Now, I thought it was down to three of Drew, Barker and Kingsley. But I think it's down to three, but Drew, Barker and another bloke.
Yeah, Kingsley's out.
Yeah, he's out.
So who's
I think it's Scott Burns.
Right.
So
they get a second round of interviews.
Yeah, this week.
This week.
And then it'll be announced on Thursday. I reckon it'll be one of Drew or Barker.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And if I've always said all the way through, I think it'll be Johnny Barker.
Stewie Jew's fascinating. He's
always there routes, isn't he? Every time there's a coaching job.
Tested extremely well in a lot of those tests that they've done along the way. So,
rightly or wrongly, and I hope it's not a personal thing. His football knowledge is absolute. Everyone who speaks to him says, "Wow, absolute." But they say he's a little bit rough around the edges in the coaching front, and I don't know what that exactly means. But his football knowledge is superb.
I do wonder if the Fagan success, in inverted commas, but also the Dimmer style and the Beveridge style to some degree, whether that personal relationship stuff becomes number one.
John Barker is exceptional at that. Yep. His rapport with people and rapport with players is he's one more.
All right. Well, I think that's just about it for the Super Footy podcast. We just need to give our predictions for 2018.
Why do we have to do that?
Because I'm told we do. Because we want some audio to replay the last...
I think usually when we do them in December, that's too early. Yeah.
When we have to do them for the magazine, they ring you up.
This hold is early.
So I didn't pick Adelaide or Richmond for the 8 this year. So
I picked Adelaide, I didn't pick Richmond.
It's irrelevant.
That's just ridiculous.
Is Richmond in your 8 next year, definitely?
Yes.
Yeah, of course they are. The best team in the comp.
Yeah. Dusty, back-to-back Brownlow.
Was the Bulldogs in your 8 at this time last year for next year?
Well, look, it's an interesting point with
the
hunger.
I think they were 7.
They had no injuries, basically, to speak of for the whole year.
Who? Sounds like they had issues.
Richmond. Oh, it couldn't have gone better.
Yeah, and they'll have a worse draw.
They'll have a much worse. And that was another person Saturday
night. They won't,
remember,
they get Friday night,
recall some of these conversations. The fixture plays a massive part, according to some.
I'm pretty sure we beat every team.
Yeah, to get in.
Just to
in
get,
the final,
get a good start and get away. Play
well,
a lot of games
helps
at the MCG.
Fixture helps you get to September.
I think we're looking
you've got to help yourself when you're in September.
No doubt.
I think we're looking at three peaks.
Yeah, I'll probably pick the Crows, to be honest.
Do you call it dynasty or dynasty?
Dynasty, mate.
Depends where you live. No, Dusty back-to-back for mine. I can't see anyone getting near anyone. You've got 6 weeks in Vegas coming up.
So Brownlow as well.
I think so. Not back-to-back premierships. I'm saying I reckon
you
he could go back-to-back
then?
Brownlows. Jeez, Adelaide.
Oh, we just smashed them.
I'll go Joe Danaher for Coleman. Let's not pick the flag. Who do we know who's going to win the flag?
I just had to.
I went gross.
Who did win the flag? Oh, reigning
I'm
premier.
Going out
see you later.
I'm going for Patrick Dangerfield to win the Brownlow and Geelong to win the flag, just in case they do. That is it for the year. And Loz, Lauren, it's been great to have you with us. It's been great to have you with us on the Super Footy podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it.
I have. Yeah, Loz is the official term now, I believe. Thanks. It's been really good. I've really enjoyed joining you guys this year and all of the reader feedback, good, bad and ugly at times. But no, it's been really, really fun. And yeah, thanks to all for having me on board.
Yeah, your contribution has been much appreciated. Not sure about yours, Mick. Well, you predicted you got your predictions all wrong.
Yeah, I didn't pick Richmond or Adelaide for the 8, but you know what? 37 years of bad jokes and bullying and all that, it's over. So I don't know what it'll be like when the Roadrunner finally got caught by the coyote. Now what happens?
I said that to KB on Saturday night, Robbo. Your gig's all up, mate. There's nothing more you can say.
Where did you come from, Mick? Peninsula?
Via Canberra Environmentaliser.
And Robbo, or Mr. Brightside, as we now call you, thanks for being part of the team as well.
Thanks
this year.
For inviting me in late in the season. Really enjoyed it.
And, Bendigo, was it?
Bendigo for me. And let's hope that we're all back here next year and no one gets traded out.
One of the
restricted free agent.
One of Santa's favourite sons. The footy season might be finished, but the trade period is just about to ramp up.
Two first rounders.
You can follow at Superfooty on Twitter and Facebook for all the latest news on trades and signings as it happened. Keep an eye out for our special Super Trades podcast in the coming days. Have a great year and a great Christmas, everyone.
Go Tigers.
Go Cats.
Riley Knight to kick what could be the last score of the game. It's fallen short, as the Crows have today. The mark not paid, it was touched off the boot. So it's going to be out of bounds, and we'll have a throw-in, and there's only seconds remaining for the biggest yellow and black party you have ever seen.
Get it going, Hutto.
Tigerland going to take over Melbourne. The throw-in takes place in the pocket. The countdown's onto the siren. We wait for the roar. And there it is! For the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017 is officially Tiger Time. We never meet until the final siren's gone. Like the tiger of old, we're strong and we're bold, for we're from Tiger and from Tigerland.
Right, this quarter of SEN Football was brought to you by the experts in diamonds. Go to adc.com.au.
Well, the rest of the Richmond list are out there. That's as big a reaction as you see, Spud. They are going nuts.
This is reminiscent of Collingwood goes 1990. Probably bigger.
Rightfully so.
Probably bigger. Have a look at some of the stories and the subplots. That song, how big is that?
Well, Dustin Martin's just found Damien Harwick. There's your photo. Wow. Front page, back page, middle page. They are embracing in the middle of the ground. This is unbelievable.
Neil Barnes walking around said, this is easy. Old Barmy. Everywhere I go, win a flag. Richo's around. He's ecstatic, Richo.
It's the Red Tag sales event at Jeff Weiler Chevrolet of Columbus. Look for the red tags and unlock unbeatable discounts on new and pre-owned Chevys. 0% APR on select new Chevrolet for well-qualified buyers. From the rugged Silverado to the sleek Malibu, every tag means savings. Financing made easy. We'll pay off your trade no matter what you owe. Stop by Jeff Weiler Chevrolet on Gender Road or shop anytime at jeffweilercolumbus.com. That's jeffweilercolumbus.com.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2025 Volkswagen Taos S FWD for $350 for 36 months with zero due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 11/30/25.